Derek, let's address the elephant in the room. For generations, we've been told our kids the story of the three little pigs, where building with straw was maybe not portrayed as a stroke of genius. Yet here we are. You're a pioneer with a product called DuraPanel. So tell us, what did the big bad wolf not understand about modern straw construction, and how are you proving him wrong?
He neglected to sit back, observe nature.
What do you mean by nature?
Trees. The thing is, we don't think about these things very carefully, which we should. And we just tend to not look at nature and say, well, what holds a tree up? You know, you look at it swaying in the breeze, everything else. Okay, how do trees form? Photosynthesis. Nature's got the greatest mechanism for removing carbon out of our atmosphere. That it's just sitting there right in front of us, and we stop. Just need to stop and think about this. And so, well, every year, 170 gigatons, right, of carbon, 1 gigaton's a billion tons, carbon's removed from the atmosphere, okay? Then the power of photosynthesis is used by plants to build bodies.
That's how we get our
food.
That's
carbon. And what do we get in return? Beautiful, clean air. Okay. Yeah. Now, that's all happening. Now, with photosynthesis, of course, they want to build a body, and there's natural polymers through the process of photosynthesis that forms hemicelluloses, celluloses, starch, lignin. All of these naturally occurring materials bind together as a glue to let trees stand up and resist storms.
This is taking me back to my science biology class days. I'm trying to remember the calculation of photosynthesis.
But we forget this.
Yeah, we learned this at Year 10 biology.
Yeah.
We've all of a sudden gone to, what's the statistic? We build enough, we use that much concrete in the world, we build the amount of a Manhattan in New York per week.
Is so.
Which is completely the opposite of what is happening here.
It's crazy. But you look at wheat crops, you know, and you look at them growing, or rice crops. You look at food, you know, again, photosynthesis, okay? These plants are feeding us, and then we get a byproduct after harvest, and that's sitting there in a field. Now, all of that biomass that's done all the work, it's a natural draining system for carbon in the world, right? It's a natural, nature's got this all figured out. Those crops are standing there, and what are we doing at the moment? Globally, with after harvest, with things like wheat, rice, sugarcane, these types of material. What do?
Put them in the bin.
No, we're burning them.
So then we're actually creating carbon.
Correct. Now, this is the opportunity for the great interrupter, right? The biggest opportunity for us exists right now, and it's starting to get recognised, the biogenic carbon cycle, naturally occurring.
So that's what your product is. You're practically turning, so what I'm understanding is you're turning waste that'd be burnt into a building material.
Correct.
Just using basic chemical reactions.
We sit there and we try and think about all these new crazy innovative ways to do stuff. And like, I know my brain constantly does this, and I'm sitting here listening to you, and it's almost as if the answer's there. The answers are there already. Like, so nature's doing a really fucking
good. Well, they've kind of been there for a
This is where we've done, you know, you think about the Industrial Revolution, right? Really, 250 years ago, we just, you know, okay, we invented steam engines, right? And steam engines were basically one of the big inventions by Watt. But the steam engine, the first one designed, was a pump. And the necessity for that steam-driven pump was to remove water from coal mines so we could brag out more coal. Well, I mean, we've been using peat and coal for 6,000 years for burning to keep warm.
Peat's used to make whiskey.
Oh, yes. I don't mind a dram of that, actually.
Yeah, what's your timeline of whiskey? It's my...
This is so off-topic. We actually talked about this on the phone the other day.
Anything out of Tasmania, I love.
A single malt. I'm rather fond of single malt, to be quite honest.
There's some beautiful ones out in Tassie. Absolutely insane whiskies.
Some great, a lot of good things come out of Tassie, including Bob Brown.
Absolutely.
Are you an engineer by trade? I'm trying to, because you're so charismatic. You've got such a science background. I'm sort of trying to work out.
I think in many respects, I've worked with the product all my life since I was 24 years old, this particular product.
So you designed this product?
No.
Okay.
Like most good things in life.
Interesting story, actually. Yeah.
It's, yeah, like most good things in life, I've had the good fortune to develop what was a good idea and move it forward. It's like, I think this particular manufacturing process, which I first saw when I was 24 years old,
only yesterday, wasn't it?
I'd like to think so, but no. But yeah, and I was only a kid, but I first saw that, and I've always loved nature, but that's when I first saw it. And I worked for a public company in Australia, Stramit Industries.
Mm. Yeah.
And I went up to the manufacturing plant in Bendigo and I saw this process for the first time when I was 24.
So, well.
Okay. A long time ago. Very loosely compacted panel compared to what it is today. But that, for me, was the fire that's burned ever since. To say, how can I improve this? How can I re-engineer it, make it better? You know, I've always loved building things and making stuff personally. That's been a passion for me. It's all my life. And to be in nature at the same time, to say, right, okay. I've been fascinated by what nature does since I was a kid.
So how do we get this in more buildings then? Because I sit in this podcast studio and I honestly, like, watching it go together yesterday, I'm like understanding the building of it. And then they shut that door once it's all done. I'm like, whoa.
You know, before you answer that, I would love just a little bit more context of what this is and how it gets to this. Because now we touched on it before. It's potentially a waste product. Yep. But what is this? And I'm pointing to this.
A DuraPanel.
Yeah. What is a DuraPanel?
Well, it's basically biomass. And I was talking earlier about what holds trees together and gives them structural capacity, strength, you know, to withstand forces. Now,
is that lignin?
That's it. Yeah, lignin combined with cellulose. Hemicellulose, starch, these naturally occurring materials are in the biomass, which is the wheat straw, the waste material after harvest. Now, those materials are unique in that when you apply heat, and I'm talking about 220 degrees C, quite a lot of heat, and extreme pressure, we work at around about 60 tonnes per square inch in the old vernacular across the work face of the panel. So enormous pressure. And combined with a naturally occurring moisture content in the straw, the raw material gives up that lignin, which helps fuse the panel core together.
So it creates like a glue.
There's
no glue, but there's a glue. It's like a
naturally occurring polymer.
Yeah.
Now, the beautiful thing is there's no additives at all. I mean, that's it. It's a dry extrusion process.
It's like it's too good to be true.
Well, if people say that and they go, oh, yeah, I hear what you say, Derek. I hear what you say. Well, I say, well, come up to our factory and have a look for yourself. Because they always say to me, what are you adding to the panel? I'm like, saying nothing.
I watched them cut it. I like those off cuts that I was looking at and I was playing with it yesterday and I'm like trying to compress it and I'm playing. And you know when you, I know Julie spoke on the podcast, you're a kid for the first time and you stop and you just examine that thing. And I was looking at it just being like, my brain was sitting there going, so why isn't this everywhere?
It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, it sort of is, but it's been around in Australia from the late 1950s. That's when the technology first was introduced here. And that originally came out of Sweden. That's the first thing. It was after the Second World War when building materials were in short supply. Okay.
Yeah.
And then people looked to what was only – all they had that was available was natural materials. They were growing food, and here's a byproduct that they were burning, the straw. Now, you think about it. Straw roof, thatch roof on houses, okay? You can use straw on the outside of a house and as we're doing with straw bales, which are great technology, and you're rendering it. Mm. So, I mean, it's been used, that thinking, for years, but we tend to lose sight of it because we're getting, you know, with the Industrial Revolution, we got told that, okay, petrochemical products are good for us. That's the way forward, guys, you know?
It's funny how it's now it's 3, 4, 5, 6, 6. It's natural building. Everything is natural building. And I think we are just at the surface, like we're here, and it's just going to go.
Well, see, the product, when it first was, I'm going back to the 60s and 70s, this product, one of the first major projects, which I think set things in stone for the future, was Tullamarine Airport in Melbourne. That's all covered in DuraPanel and DuraSteel sections.
Wow.
Right? Every major airport in the country uses this material somewhere for noise control.
Is it being more used in a commercial setting at the moment compared to residential?
Historically, when it first I think I go again, I'm going back to my first time when I was around 24, or when the sand belt was being developed around, you know, Beaumaris, Blackrock. Architects were using DuraPanel because this goes back before fiberglass insulation and polyester insulation, right? This has a great insulation, naturally occurring character to it.
Yeah. So just for clarity, so this is about 50-odd mil thick, these?
50, yeah.
And it's obviously got a latent R value in it. Do you know what that is?
Yes, 0.62.
0.6, but then the acoustics of it and the fire, because you fire test these.
There's density too. So everyone gets confused with density that also can improve the – for
thermal insulation, this is where DuraPanel works. See, before fiberglass insulation was brought in, DuraPanel was used. That was the ceiling, and then there was metal deck roof. The first metal deck roofs were put on, and there was just a sarking put over the top of the DuraPanel. That was the roof ceiling system, and that was it. And you say, well, 0.62 is not a very high R value.
That's 50 mil, by the way.
Yeah, but it's 50 mil thick. The panel's 50 thick.
Yeah.
But back in those days, and what's used in Europe is K values, and that's thermal conductivity.
So because you – like we think of a 90 mil wall, we double that almost at 1.5, which isn't too far off what a standard house would use. I think when people see insulation,
in my mind, what DuraPanel's doing, it's – yes, there's R values in there, but
there's more to it.
The density – in it, so we've just had someone open the door here in the middle of the podcast, right? And it really demonstrated, like, how noisy it is outside, but how quiet it is inside. Yeah. So not only does it have an R value, and you're right, like, we just think about R value, oh, it's low, it's no good.
Yeah.
But the feeling in here is hard to explain because it's insulating us thermally, but also acoustically from what's happening outside.
But that's comfort. Everyone thinks it's comfort, and I bang on this about this all the time, as only being thermal. There is noise, there is vibrations, there is air quality, there is there's one I'm missing too. There's another big one.
Well, you're talking about volatile organic compounds.
Yeah.
There's no emissions.
Air quality. That's the one I was missing.
Yeah.
But that's everyone, I want an insulated house. Okay, cool. But that's just not comfort. I give you an insulated house, it might not be comfortable.
I want to just jump back just a second. So this is 50 mil. What does that look like when it's about to go into the press? So I'm assuming it's a press. Is it 300?
It's an extrusion damage. Actually, I've got to get you up to the factory.
We're coming.
The beautiful part is it that we're extruding the product, right, as opposed to pressing it. Okay. Now, when you extrude it, it means we can cut the panel to length. So we have no waste.
So you're practically just running this massive panel. You just cut it as you need it.
Correct.
That's it.
To get your head around it, a nice way to think about it, everybody sort of in their life's picked up a small bale of straw.
Yes. Yep.
One of those bales will produce 1 square metre approximately of DuraPanel.
Okay.
So we're at 50 mil thickness.
Yeah.
So that's effectively what we're compressing.
Yeah. All right. So that's a nice mental image of what's in here.
Can you do thicker? Can you say do a 300 mil one if you wanted to? Or are you limited to heights?
Well, you can, but you've got to go back to the basic premise from an engineering perspective of what we're doing, okay?
You're not trying to please the whole market.
We're using such high pressure to get this to work.
Yeah.
We do two thicknesses, 50 and 58 millimetre thickness.
Yeah.
If we go too thick, all of a sudden you can't lift it.
Yeah.
It's too much weight.
It's heavy.
So where my brain was going with this is like, why isn't this in, say, a SIPS panel that is and you can just double them up because we lift it by crane anyway. Why couldn't you have 100 mil of that and then we just, as a prefabrication method for construction, and then start whacking them together?
People are thinking about that, and you could certainly do that. You could certainly make a panel, assemble panels of this pretty much like a precast panel.
Yeah.
And you could do a build up and say, right, okay, DuraPanel, some thermal insulation to satisfy the NCC requirements for R values.
Yeah.
And you probably have a stress skins on the outside to give
a shear face, shear force,
And depth.
Yeah.
So you can, structurally, the thing will perform and be load-bearing. But you could certainly do that and have a SIP panel using DuraPanel as a component within that SIP panel.
Yeah.
I think that's done in the next 5 years.
Something's happening. I mean, we've got our friends from Fenster and Panel here at the moment, and I'm constantly chatting with Dave about the core, because we build a lot of SIPS projects, it's got an EPS core in it.
It goes back to your petrochemical
thing. And it bothers me. It does bother me. It bothers me, but also...
I'll give you a simple analogy. This fantastic rammed earth builder, right? We've all been in rammed earth homes. Yep. We know how good they perform. Mud brick, rammed earth. Mm. Okay. They work beautifully. What does the NCC make them do to be compliant?
Performance solutions?
No, they make them put a styrene panel in the core just to satisfy the R value, right?
Yeah.
If you ever cut styrene on a building site, you guys know what it's like.
Oh, yeah.
You get micro plastics everywhere from the cutting of the styrene. It's just disgusting.
So they're using this now?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you put this in the middle?
Well, you possibly could.
As a thermal break.
Yeah. Like why? Yeah. Like,
but it'd be better, you know, depend. People like to look externally, internally of the mud brick. But a lot of people we're finding now are looking, say, with straw bale construction and things like that. Yeah, it's great. Great insulator, but it's not like well engineered as a finish.
It's also
you could line this with DuraPanel. Say you have a straw bale that does your insulation. Say internal finish could be DuraPanel walls, DuraPanel ceilings.
Yeah.
Can you get like a plaster face? Like essentially, could you just screw this on like plasterboard too? And
yep.
Yeah. And you can so maybe I'm pointing behind me here. So maybe just talk through this. So what's the finish that's on top of this now? It just sort of feels like paper.
That's just a recycled craft paper liner, and that's around about 300 grams per square metre.
So you could actually remove that and not have that on there if you wanted to.
No, you need that.
Is that for that? And that's giving you the strength to hold everything?
Yeah, because the DuraPanel is in essence a stressed skin in its own right.
Yeah.
Because we've got a DuraPanel core of compressed straw,
and
during our manufacturing process, we're laminating like the recycled craft paper liner onto the finished panel core, top and bottom.
Yeah, okay.
So then you're getting a stressed, like a stress skin beam coming out of the machine that's, 1,200 millimetres wide.
So if you removed that, there'd be risk of it popping?
Yeah, in manufacture, sometimes we do.
Just want to work for you guys.
Things that go wrong in manufacture. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We might get a craft paper breakage.
Yeah.
And the panel literally explodes out of the mouth of the machine. There's just straw going. Crows everywhere. You don't want it happening.
That actually be kind of fascinating to see. It's like confetti.
Well, you can imagine we're working at 60 tons per square inch pressure.
Wow.
And it's just straw goes everywhere.
So tell me about some of the applications. Like, and I guess I'm this is kind of a bit of a loaded question because I kind of know this already. Yeah. So we're linings, and I'm correct me if I'm wrong. We can use this for internal walls as well. Like
internal walls and external walls and. I mean, there's been certainly with COVID times, there's been, I think, a big growth industry has been in steel frame constructions, which I think is a great thing. But this is where you get elements like steel frame construction. The big problem there is thermal conductivity.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to stop
heat energy
going through.
Yeah. I'm talking to your team yesterday, how do we prevent this?
So you just put DuraPanel, and this is what people have been doing. There's a big project called Sea Street, which was highly successful.
With Kin.
Yeah, that's it, And
that's a great project.
We need to get them on.
Outside. And the thermal conductivity of this, again, we're talking about K values.
Yeah.
Now, this is what should be considered, and it's not considered by the NCC currently. Hopefully, it will be.
The NCC is crap. The fact we have a national construction code that every single state, it's different. It's not national then.
They don't, As long as, tick box, point, this is tick box for R values, but this has a K value, 0.081 watts per meter K. And when you see a fire demonstration, if we put 3,000 plus degrees of oxyacetylene on the panel.
Nothing happens.
You can hold your hand on the other side of that panel. You don't feel any heat at all.
You did testing with RMIT, and didn't you do this for 3 hours, and the difference on the side was only 50 degrees? Was that something like that?
Yeah. We did full-scale bushfire testing on a product with CSIRO at MOGO on a complete DuraPanel box for housing and building in bushfire areas.
Yeah.
And the product passed that test.
Yep.
Wow.
Now, that's huge. And over I think it was after an hour, the temperature from the inside to the outside, the temperature inside only went up, I think it was something like 3 or 4 degrees C.
Wow.
And that's for the duration of the test.
And it's pretty much placed in an oven.
It's placed in a fire. If you look at that MOGO testing, It's actually propane torches all around the building, and the building gets totally immersed in fire, like a proper fire.
Was this post the 2019, 2020 bushfires?
This test was done last year.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing it on social media. Yost.
Because you go back to this, like I did question your team yesterday when they're putting like, how do we eliminate like the metal now if we're going to try to use it externally and so we don't have the thermal bridging?
Well, you just get rid of that and you just put biscuit connectors in there. So
and just screw it to a frame.
And screw it back. That's it. Yeah, that's all you need to do.
So after having Derek on this SBA webinar one day, my brain was going wild and I...
That's what my brain is doing right now.
Immediately thought about Cam, went back to Cam... I asked Cam whether or not we can use this externally and put a lime render on it. And yep. I think we chatted about it at the time. And I'm just like, it's a possibility. I think, I'll be the devil's advocate here. I feel you'd want to keep it dry.
Yeah, you've got to keep it dry.
Yeah. That's a big thing.
I mean, you could get this building as it is now and you can hose all this down.
Yeah.
Right? And let it dry out.
But that's basic. This is where I think building goes wrong. You can get something wet as long as drying exceeds wetting.
Exactly. Yeah, it's got to be allowed to dry.
Exactly right, guys. It's we don't want common sense. Like
it's back to what we go. Literally, the first bit of the conversation. It's back to natural building.
Well, we were in America November last year, and after those bushfires went through, we've been specified in a special accommodation unit for people that have lost their homes.
Yeah.
This is in Ojai. Yeah. In California.
Which is where it ripped through there.
Yeah, in the Palisades and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So DuraPanel is getting used. It's like a 30-room accommodation structure, single story. And the DuraPanel is going to be used all the walls, all the ceilings, basically as per that Yost test that we did up in Mogo for CSIRO. And they've used that test to look at it and look at the fire performance. And on the outside of that building, to get back to your thought, how do you weatherproof it? They're putting like a plaster render on the outside of that sort of...
Like a line. They've used a line-based render. Yeah, I know the product they've used,
Straight over the outside, and that's going to be the finish of that building.
So this is also an Australian-made product too, am I right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And where are you? You're up in...
In Bendigo, Victoria.
Bendigo. And did I read somewhere... So this is a waste product. And did I read somewhere that you have like a radius of where you're... getting your material from. And I know as you you've got big orders and stuff coming through, it's hard to then sort of facilitate the amount of product that you'd need. But your philosophy is that you're trying to get it within a certain radius of the...
Yeah. Well, we want to be minimising the amount of emissions that are associated with anything to do with our panel.
Yeah.
So the manufacturing centre is located in the middle of the wheat belt.
Yeah.
In Victoria.
Yeah.
So all of our raw material comes within 60 kilometres of our factory.
Wow.
And that factory's been there since 1960.
Wow.
And a beautiful thing with this is that, I mean, farmers are looking for a way to get rid of the material that we use. So the farmers are getting extra money.
So you're buying it off them?
We're buying it from the farmers and from the straw contractors because farmers might do a deal with the big straw contractors with the big equipment and just they get X dollars per paddock of straw.
And this is straw, so can it be other biomass material or is straw the...
Could it be hemp?
No, hemp. See, hemp doesn't have the correct makeup of and ratios of lignin. Hemicellulose, cellulose, starch to do that job.
To do what this is doing.
Yeah,
but
correct.
Hemp
is if you mix the hemp with a binding agent.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Then you can build like Yost is doing at the moment. Then you can build furniture, beautiful furniture and things like that. There's a big school that's been done all DuraPanel and all hemp furniture and things like that.
I've actually had the privilege of seeing some of that product at Jeremy McLeod's Breathe office in Melbourne, and they've got a desk there, and it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why isn't this everywhere?
Well, why would you be chopping down trees? This is my argument. Why are we chopping down trees for paper manufacturing?
Yeah.
Why aren't we using biomass?
When we can literally out there, I can write on this.
And then we're burning it.
Like,
and releasing the carbon.
Yeah, so get
we're destroying nature's, mate, nature's got the machine going and we're going in.
We're
there.
Just fucking everything up.
Okay, yeah. So there needs to be a particular compound within that biostructure, if that's the word, of the material.
It's like the molecular structure of the material itself.
Yeah. Okay.
And with the hemp, and we've looked at trying to do it with the hemp, and it just won't work. We have to add chemicals.
Is that the same as corn? Would corn be the same?
Corn is the same. Sugar cane, we've tried using sugar cane. The best materials that we've found are rice crops.
Okay.
And you know, we make the machines that make the panel, and which I don't want to digress, but it's an interesting thing that after the Boxing Day tsunami went through and Sri Lanka got devastated, we licensed our manufacturing technology to the major construction firm in Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
It's ICC, International Construction Consortium.
Yeah.
And we transferred the technology and made them a machine,
yeah,
provided all the training, all the resources. And after the Boxing Day tsunami, all their rice crops were used rather than being burned.
Wow.
Got taken to the factory, manufactured DuraPanel, and then rebuilt the houses. The farmers doubled their income. So think of the social benefits after that devastating tsunami. Okay, this is back in, 2006, I think.
Yeah.
And that the factory is still going strong today. Yeah, 20 years ago.
So what always blows my mind with stuff like this is like, this is not something that's come out post-COVID, had time to think, we got an extra bit of money, we're going to invest it and just blow it up. It's just something that's been happening for a while.
It's like it was a product from the future here in Australia. And then we've seen so much indoctrination and so much greenwashing and everything else associated with petrochemical materials, whereas this thing's just been sitting there quietly, and okay, all of a sudden now it's very, very relevant.
And so this is probably an interesting little segue. So are you finding, obviously DuraPanel's been around for a long time, are you finding there's a much bigger social pickup of it today? Like, are we ready for products like this to be much more relevant?
More and more in
the market, yeah.
More and more. I mean, that school that was built at Woodley, Woodley, all the barriers went away with that school, right?
Yeah.
It had a great architect
that
embraced the materials.
Yeah.
Okay. He embraced them.
Yeah.
The school embraced the materials because they wanted the outcome. They wanted to demonstrate, well, this is the future. Yeah. This is what we've got to do.
Yeah.
This is, we've got to use these sorts of materials. That project was a win-win-win for everybody, including the fact, this is the only time in my history that I've ever known a builder give the client money back because he saved money on the build, okay, over what he thought it was going to cost him. He thought it was going to be this, and it came in less. And he returned money to the school.
Wow. And Yost was involved in that project, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So I don't want to digress too much with Yost, and I've been a really big fan of Yost for a long time because I feel, now I don't agree with everything that he says, right, but I think that's okay. He is pushing the boundaries of what we think about a building should be.
Yep.
And I know we've had some conversations in a group chat about Yost before, and I really genuinely hope we can get him on here. I love him because he pushes the boundaries, because he actually makes you think outside the little bubble that you operate within. We think about this, we operate in this building physics thing. He champions steel frames. We're like, well, we don't want steel frames.
Yep.
He champions alternative building methodologies.
We do too, though.
We do, but I feel like, you know, it takes a flower farmer to think differently in this industry that we're in. And we need that to create change.
Well, they always say, like, people coming in from other industries always question why the industry's done a certain way.
Shake it up.
So, because we're doing our house, and Nicole coming in, she's in marketing, my wife, and then coming into the building industry to like build a house, and she's around my building business anyway. She's like, why is this done this way? Why is this done this way?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I never thought about that. Like, why does that take so long? And you're like, yeah, that's just, yeah. And that's where it goes back to the conversation around, like, with you guys. It's like, why?
It's a nice circle back to the fact that this has been a product since the 60s. And it's still here. It's still relevant, becoming more relevant now. And we've tried to solve all these problems that we've created ourselves. And the answer's here.
Well, I think we just need to look at it, and architects need to, I think, have a, more of an approach like those at the Woodley School had. And so it said, well, okay, it might not be the perfect colour that they want, or it might not be the perfect finish that, they, that an architect wants, but hey, this is a perfect material that we need.
That's okay.
What's, yeah. What is that? What's that Japanese saying? It is what it is. And there's actually a saying, and I was chatting with someone about it yesterday. The Japanese have this these amazing buildings which have been there for hundreds of years, some hemp, some charred timber, and they're embracing the imperfection of that building material.
Yep.
And they have a saying, it is. It just is what it is.
I couldn't put that better myself, Hamish. I mean, it is perfect. I mean, this product was, we worked closely with RMIT with testing for years. And recently, one of their researchers wanted to do fire testing on DuraPanel. And the fire testing went so well on this DuraPanel. And this was bushfire research. And he wanted to do more work on it. So he said, can I do a study or work with you just to produce a study on DuraPanel? It's been around for so long, exactly like we're talking about now. It's been there for so many years. Why haven't we embraced it? And there is a thing, people say it won't last, like the three little pigs. They go, it's not going to last. So what he did was, he said, do you know an old building that I can pull some panel out of? I said, yeah, we can do that. Anyway, in our factory, we've got DuraPanel that's over 50 years old, over half a century old. So we pulled the panel out, he took it back and tested it, did all the comparison testings with product we make today. Now, the product we made today is stiffer and stronger, but the product that was over half a century old had lost none of its mechanical properties. Jeez. Over that half a century of real-world use and aging. Now, that says it all to me.
We need to wrap this up. I've got to get on stage to do a moderator panel in 5 minutes. But I've got...
You're a man of many talents.
I know. I've got one question that I want to finish on here, though.
Yeah.
Is why are you so passionate about this? Wouldn't it just be easy just to not care?
I know it's right. I guess that's the biggest thing. I mean, I've invested myself in nature since I was like a kid.
Yeah.
I've always liked being in nature, and that's my place, personally. I'm always happy. I was happiest being in the surf, sitting out there before the sun came up. Mm. You know, I don't care if I was on my own or with my mate or whatever. But that was my happy place. It's always been happy being out in nature with nothing, just in the bush and just observing what's around me. And never do I fail to be absolutely amazed at what nature can do. If you give it time and if you look at it and work with it rather than work against it, which is what we tend to do. I mean, we tend to lock ourselves up in boxes and think, well, we're just trying to remove ourselves more and more from nature. And I personally look at what the houses that we're living in now, going, they're full of VOCs. You look at all of these diseases. When I grew up, we never had all these ADHDs, allergies. And I think it's, we're a product of our environment. Rather than closing our windows and our doors and, you know, putting on the air conditioner.
Yeah.
Going, hey, mate, look, just open them. Bring nature in. But
I think it's coming back, biophilic design. That's the word.
Well, biophilia has to come into it. And I think that's a really beautiful way of answering that question. I think it's a great place to finish it, like just embrace nature.
Well, I think it's embrace nature. And to me, I feel like, you know, I've had a stewardship almost position to look after this technology now. And I've got all you guys, your young crew that are coming around, and the young crew at our place, you know, and I'll probably be, you know, working life another 5 years or so, but there's a passionate group of people that I've got. I'm so fortunate to have them working with me, you know.
And your family's in the business
too. Yeah, I've got family in the business as well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's been with me now in the business for almost 15 years now.
Look, I would love that passion to continue because, like,
I think it will. I don't think, you know, you love it. I can see it's happening. I can just see that it's happening. Yeah. I don't think there's any, like, I hope. I'm pretty confident it will.
Yeah, amazing. Look, thank you, one, for letting us do this in this.
This is awesome.
Space, and to even have you here, you know, in front of the DuraPanel talking about the product, and I feel like we're going to see a lot more.
Mate, I thank you for the opportunity, guys, and I mean, you guys are the future.
Yeah, we know.
You know, and we've all got a responsibility to look after our planet. So
amazing.
Well, let's spread the word.
Thank you,
Derek. Thank you very much.